all frustrated relationships or unrequited loves are a picture of something. And they're a picture of God and his relationship with the nation of Israel after the flesh. And it's like a point is reached in which as long as you are under the law, or as long as a mate is under the law, then that which we are about becomes impossible. It's not that it has nothing to do with what we like or don't like or shoulds or ought tos. The fact remains, it's impossible. And it gives us a taste of the grieving of the Father. I mean, I know that sounds real super spiritual, but there's a whole lot of, in the scriptures about light. And it says about Christ that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are all wrought in God.
Right? Huh? John 3:19-20.
That's the only reason you love darkness, because you believe that some of your deeds are not wrought in God.
Yeah, I was thinking you come to the light and then you get your butt kicked and then God knocks you down. I mean, that's a construction I got handed a long time ago.
Yeah. That's not the right construction. You know, and it says it again in Ephesians and Psalms. It says it all over the place. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, it's a hard thing to believe because of the way our mindset has gone over the years, that that we live and breathe and move and have our being and speak as the oracle of God. That's the secret that Jesus knew. It's his only secret. The oracle of God isn't, it's a position that's your hereditary right. And that's mind-blowing. And the position is that the oracle of God is defined as the place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. God, believe it or not, God has stopped dealing with flesh. He doesn't care what you do. He only cares that you hide. Because the definition is that at the point of hiding, you believe that he has forsaken you, so you believe it's the ultimate lie, that you are separate from him, as opposed to just being in one of these positions of the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, Harry told the story that when he didn't behave, his father would make a phone call, and he wouldn't really make it because his finger was on the hang-up thingy, but it sounded like he was making it. And he would make arrangements for Harry to be sent to an orphanage. Well, Harry was listening. Now, imagine, it's funny as hell, but imagine that's you when you're 3 or 4 years old. Five, six. Okay. If you don't conform to the standards, then you will be sent to the orphanage. Well, that... Your hereditary right is that he can never leave you nor forsake you in any arena. And that all your deeds, all your thoughts, all your activities are wrought in God. It's impossible to be any other place. That's everything that I've ever taught you, everything that we've ever talked about, is to prove and to emphasize and to test that point. You know, it's the same deal as I talked about last night a minute in that movie of the Last Emperor. When he was a little kid, and he did a bad thing, somebody else got punished. Well, that's what's happened to you. The check's been paid. You have a hereditary right that is so awesome that all it takes for you is to inherit your inheritance. And all this other stuff, comes at you, just, you know, including me, are just little bees or little mosquitoes trying to mess with an elephant. Gnats. You understand? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, peril, or death, or destruction, or nothing. Who is he that condemns? It's God that justifies. You are in the same position as Christ was. You're manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. You're never justified in the flesh. You can't be that. There will always be a standard you can't meet. You're never justified in the flesh. All that God requires of you is your openness. And he doesn't even require that of you, because the Holy Spirit will come along and make your hiding so odious that you have to open. Yeah. He will it and do it in you. We're having a meeting of the board of directors this weekend. And there's going to be a lot of changes. That hopefully will represent a new level of freedom, a new arena of freedom. And let me talk about it in a minute. Let's go to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament.
That's appropriate.
Malachi 3,
and it's not pronounced
Malachi.
What is it exactly?
Malachi 3, what?
I said he hates it when you read ahead.
Oh, no. I knew it was going to be this one. Will a man rob God?
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, even the messenger or the angel or the presence of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, most of the people that are involved with the Bible study have spent a long time desiring or hoping or praying or begging or brown nosing or
groveling.
Hoping that the Lord would suddenly come to his temple, i.e., I think all of you now understand without question that you are the temple made with hands. Each of you have spent your lifetimes chasing desires. And in every case, the desire has been like a one-night stand. What has happened most of the time, you didn't make it, you know. But you were out there trying. And so your desire has either been totally frustrated because you weren't worthy of that which you were going after, or it has been completed or fulfilled, and
it's not like great.
It was like, you know, was that all there is?
BFB.
How do I get out of here without waking her up?
Forget my door. Yeah.
If I can just get out of here, I'll never do it again.
So what you do, you become calloused. And the callousness becomes a, depending on your own unique soul, it covers a sensitivity to hear the Spirit. And so you spend a lifetime doing nothing but grieving the Spirit of God because you don't respond to the stimulus at hand. You frustrate it. You squelch.
How could you say, I don't want to feel that way again because I know it'll be failure? Or what?
Or you harden your heart, like, or you become a, you know, in the parlance of when I grew up, you become a tosser.
Mm-hmm. You get things happening and you disregard them.
Or you purposefully manifest your value by being a cock, you know, in the parlance of a cock tease, or it's vice versa. You understand?
I mean,
you a PT or a CT or you become, but more than that.
If the shoe fits, right?
You more than that, you become a. When it gets really bad, you become one who tosses. In other words, you use, in sexual terms, you use that person as just, you know, if you're a female, you use them as a dildo, and you toss them. If you're male, you just, it's just, they're just a soft hand. What? But that only reveals those sexual kinds of things. Either that or you spend your life dining alone.
And get to be quite an epicure.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man.
Or the one-armed man. Or the one-eared elephant.
Okay, but anyway, all of that activity only reveals what's taking place, I mean, in your normal life. You understand me? Now, a messenger has come to tell you something, and that's my job. And I'm not here to come and tell you religious shit. I'm here to tell you that the desired, your desired your heart's desire, the desired one, that which will fulfill every desire you've ever had and more so than you've ever dreamed of, has come to his temple.
Suddenly.
Now,
today seems like question day for me. Is that true for everybody at all time?
Yep.
It has to be, right?
Yep.
So why can't they see it? Or why can't I see it?
Okay.
And
what's
the holdup?
It's holding up the tree.
Well, let's go back a little bit. We ought to really read the whole thing, but there's one place, the way you do it is that you've said it's a vain thing to serve the Lord. You know, it's coming up. Never mind. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 17, you have worried the Lord with your way. I mean, 2:17, you have worried the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is this God of judgment? In other words, the process here is that you and your, every time you envy someone, mm-hmm. you in effect, and you secretly are judging them, you say, you are saying to God, everyone that doeth evil is good. You understand? That's a way in which it's frustrated.
I don't understand that.
Well, if you look at, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, yeah. Something else you want. Whatever you,
nicer clothing.
Whatever it is that you want, somebody that's smarter than you, somebody that's more intelligent, mm-hmm. somebody that has better looks, somebody that has a husband, somebody that, and you say, how come they have that when they are like this? How come they have what I want?
How do they merit?
I don't have.
And they are like this.
So you're envying evil because what they have, they don't see God
in. It has to do with them. It has to do with you.
Everyone that doeth evil is good.
When you say that.
You say.
Oh, I see. You're a bad guy, so you get rewarded. That's what you're saying in your head.
Yeah. You know, say those words. Rewarded. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Huh?
And how come I don't?
Because.
Crisis little me doesn't.
Yeah, and you do it in things that will sneak up on you. You do it like, oh, God, I wished I had a boyfriend. Oh God, I wish I had a girlfriend. Or oh shit, how come? And then you envy. You start envying people that are married, and then you start comparing. And you're living in total darkness, and you're judging them because they have what you want.
Right.
You understand me? Okay, that's a reason you don't see it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons. There are many. This whole all of Malachi is the reason you don't see it.
Okay.
No, but there's more.
Forget.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now you don't know anything about this guy, but it says it's defined that you delight in him. So therefore, by definition, even his name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the name itself means the desired one, or that which you desire, that's anointed of God, the perfect one. I mean, you got it? All right. Now the question is, well, what the hell is going on? Then how come I don't know this? How come I'm so... If that's right, then how come all this has happened to me? Okay. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap, or like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now that's happening in your temple. You don't know it. You got it? All right.
Now the other thing about that is it doesn't say... he's going to purify them so he can give them a pile of gold so that they may make an offering.
Yeah.
It's also going to be who may buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not like you're going to get rid of
it. In other words, it's not going to look like you think it does.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it just struck me. I mean, that's what he's doing inside his temple. He's cleaning up the sons of Levi.
Okay. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former times, or former years, after the purging takes place, the refining. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. Now, you see, mm-hmm. you always, when it starts talking about that, you always go external.
Yeah, for a minute. For a second.
But the sorceries are the way in which you've lived your life thus far. Your adulteries are the places that you've gone to instead of God for your sustenance.
Oh, shit.
You got it? And false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, that's a definition of Phariseeism. Okay, now, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hmm. Why aren't the sons of Jacob consumed? Remember what I've talked to you about before? There's several of the Psalms that says that you're praying to the God of Jacob. Well, every time I hear that you're praying to the God of Jacob, I feel pretty good. Because I know that Jacob fucked up as much as I did. And as long as God was faithful in Jacob, who was a thief from... I mean, he stole his brother. He was a thief before, while he was still in the womb. As long as I know that the God of Jacob is... I don't care if the God of Israel is faithful. I'll never meet that standard. But I care that the God of Jacob is faithful. Because, well, now we know that what happens. At the right time, Israel, Jacob, is transfigured or transformed into Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
There, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I mean, if except for the seed, you are at this instant like Sodom and Gomorrah. Dusted. Got it? All right. Even from the days of your fathers you were gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? You got it? A return is the Hebrew word shub. It means turn. Turn from self. Repent.
What we say, since that's where shall we return? We say, what can we do?
Yeah. Okay. Now, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Why does the fruit of your labor always pollute?
Because you think it's your labor.
Why do you earn money to put in a bag full of holes? Why do you eat and no one is truly full? Why do you drink and no one is truly sated? Because you are cursed with a curse, the whole friggin' world. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody doesn't understand the curse? It's called the second law of thermodynamics. If you want to understand the curse, look at my body. I'm falling apart. Okay. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole people. Now get ready. Things are about to get hot, folks.
Is this what you meant by see if we survive the next second?
Oh,
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove or test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations or people shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against me? Thee. You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, you all understand, or do you need me to tell you how often you have said it is a vain thing to serve God? Do you all understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you all understand that you've been robbing God in tithes and offerings? I mean, do you really understand it? Do you understand that because you've robbed, everything you're doing is still under the curse? The curse, it's like, do you understand that it was impossible for Adam and Eve to commit adultery? You got that?
Yeah.
You understand that?
That's fine.
Okay. Do you understand it was impossible for Adam, before Eve was created, to commit murder? Can you understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm coming to something here, you'll see in a minute.
Okay.
You understand that if Adam had no awareness of self, it was impossible to lust.
Yeah.
You understand that it was impossible for Adam and Eve, but you can consider them as one flesh for this discussion. I mean, you can't imagine Adam stealing from Eve or vice versa. It was impossible for Adam and Eve to commit theft. You got it? I mean, in other words, all of the commandments of God had to be fulfilled because of their condition. In other words, there was no... Their very way of existence forced them into the fulfillment of the law.
Mm-hmm. With no effort.
Huh?
With no effort.
Now, by the same token, your very existence and the way you've been living thus far has forced you into being under the curse. I mean, your mind expects the curse. You got it? So all of the stuff that you've been doing up till now, including coming to Bible study, has been under the curse. Including prayer has been under the curse. Can you believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
No.
Is there anyone that doesn't understand it? You understand it, Pete? It's like you've been walking around. I mean, I heard this terrible joke. I get, and it's not a joke. This guy was walking, and he had. One, he was walking, and it was a sidewalk, and he's walking in one foot in the curb, and one He was walking like that. Have you ever heard that joke? He was walking like that.
Yeah, but I don't remember how it goes.
And this old guy came up to him, a buddy of his, and was berating him for being so drunk he didn't know he was walking with one foot in the curb. And the guy went, thank God, I thought I was crippled.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, that's a bad way of... But you understand, you've been... Yeah.
Yes.
You've been walking...
Huh? I don't remember. That didn't sound familiar with a pitch line.
No. Okay. Again, remember the predicate for this chapter is that he shall come suddenly. The subject of this chapter is tithes and offerings. The object of the chapter is you. One of the descriptive clauses of this is that if you accomplish something, that the devourer, i.e. the second law of thermodynamics, i.e. cause and effect, i.e. reward and punishment, shall be devoured for your sake.
Definition being what?
Can you communicate a little bit? I don't care whether it's in your relationships with other people. Yeah. I don't care if it's in any dimension of your life. That's pretty neat stuff.
That's wild.
Bring you all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and prove. In other words, now it's time to test this shit.
Okay.
Prove me now herewith.
What's the difference, and I've never understood this, between that and tempting God, which he talks about down there?
Where?
I thought it was there.
Well,
they
did.
They that tempt God.
They that tempt God.
That's, yeah. I can't find it. Where is it?
Well, forget that one for a minute.
Okay.
Trust me in this one.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, I was just...
We'll get, there's a whole other world about it. But you understand, I don't want you to worry about other doctrine. Don't let your mind go to other places. Don't let anything. Just concentrate on one arena. You understand? All of you have said amen when I said you were cursed.
Yeah.
All of you have said amen when I've asked you if you were tired of being cursed.
Amen.
All of you said amen by desiring that he comes suddenly. All of you said amen to all of the things we've talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, all we have talked about, all the tithes, all the offerings, it's time for the tire to meet the road.
Yeah.
It's going to cause all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
In the other groups, not
this one. Oh, yes, it will.
Depends on how much crap you have.
Personally, me, Al Franken, I could not talk and push and preach, really, on this as long as I had control of the money. Okay, now I no longer have control of the money. Now watch out.
We're going in.
Now are you going to talk about the different ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Because I don't know what the differences are.
Before every believer that ever came into the kingdom, including Jews before Christ, including Christians after Christ, the first thing they did was the asset tithe. Now let's check this one out.
Let me explain.
Let's go to Acts chapter 4.
Oh, this is where dirt gets dusted.
Have you been
this
there?
This is where dirt gets dusted?
Oh, they always like
dusting
chapters.
Woe and dusting.
Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, or where they were assembled.
4:39.
Acts 4, verse 31. Well, let's go up a minute. Peter and John were imprisoned. Peter went before the high priest. They were threatened and released. And then in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had sent unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. By the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now, you remember the process. They had just had Pentecost. 120, which just happens to be at least 10 for each of the 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. Under the law in Israel, 120 was the number that was required to begin a new city or a new culture. 120. So they had to present themselves at the temple on the day of Pentecost, but the chief priests and the guards and everybody was after their ass. So they had to sneak into the temple and mingle among the crowds and hope no one noticed them. Right?
Yeah.
So they get into the temple and God rips time above every one of their heads and the sound of a mighty rushing wind comes in and they start speaking in tongues.
Act casual.
You got the picture?
Oh, yeah.
Real subtle.
I didn't want to say anything, Daryl, but there's fire above you.
No, it just looks like fire. It's time ripped.
He sees it, his hair is still there.
Don't bug me.
Be cool. Like,
don't bug me, he's mind talking. Don't let now that your time is ripped.
Rip this.
Your time is up.
Okay, anyway, now. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, that doesn't mean that they did all the stuff that's been done over the centuries to try to have communal living. What it meant was that in their minds they own nothing, and that all that they possessed was God's, and by the grace of God, God gave them back 90%. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we are in the Jubilee year. once every 50 years, in which all the lands, these people came from all over the world, from every country in the known world, to come to the pilgrimage feast and the Feast of Pentecost. This is, according to Josephus, this is one of the few times that they even tried to do Jubilee, since back in the days of Joshua. Understand?
Yeah.
Jubilee is when all the lands that were allocated to the original families were returned to the families. No matter whether or not they sold them, no matter whether or not somebody else owned them.
Didn't they war over that?
Hmm?
Did they ever war over that?
Oh, they had all kinds of problems. They had all kinds of sneaky stuff. But anyway, we got people from Babylon, we got people from Rome, we got people from Ephesus and Antioch that came back and they had assets that they never had before, that they never knew about. All right. You got that in your minds? And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. As he had need. Now, again, this doesn't mean, and again you can prove this by the law, that everyone went out that owned anything and went out and sold it. What it means is they all had to have or make the asset tithe. And if they were not able to make the asset tithe, they sold in order to make it. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch. Neither was there any of them that lacked. Why? The predicate was they had all things in common. Okay. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyrus, of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things.
Oh, shit.
Okay, here's the rest of the money.
And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him.
You must put the grave clothes on.
They wrapped him in the linens. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in.
Oh, no.
And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much.
Then
Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door.
Oh.
And they shall carry thee out.
Oh, God.
Man.
Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
The last one.
Now, this thing called the asset tithe is the reason that these certain people sold their property.
in order to make that asset tithe. The asset tithe is 10% of all that you own, whether it's jewelry, houses, lands, automobiles, furs, money, stocks, bonds, without regard to anything else. In other words, it doesn't matter if you owe more on it than it's worth. The idea is this, that most of you have spent a lifetime being in bondage to money. And the asset tithe is paid on the assets that you control. We just read. Was it, while it in your possession, did you not control it? Now, why is this the time to do it? Because it's the time to do it. Why did the first century church turn the world upside down in one generation? Because great fear came upon all that heard. I have a job. Bloom snookered me beyond being snookered. I resigned as president, and he assigned me, I have to raise $1 million for the endowment, for the foundation. But I cannot go outside until we have paid the asset tithe. You understand? So what we are bringing, each one of the Bible study teachers and members of the board are bringing to Gilmont a list of all of the assets, not a list, but a dollar value of all of the assets of everybody in their groups, including you. Okay? Now, how do you establish the dollar value on certain assets? Well, use your best judgment. If you have any questions, ask me. But I want from each of you your assets. It's the assets that you have control over. And I don't care if you lie to me.
How does it end up being a tithe? I don't understand.
It's not a tithe. It's an offering.
So, well, I mean, how does one give it? Are these things sold and then we give you money? Or
well, we don't want things. The thing that will be done is that all of this will be defined in particular at this meeting in Gilmont. Now, the other thing that happens, you've only been taught, and some of you have done it every once in a while, about tithing as what's called the increase tithe. Okay, that's 10% of whatever your increase is, i.e. if you get a salary, 10% of it before the kids are fed is God's. You pay it at the place of the storehouse, the place that you're fed. Now, there are several other things that are done, and we're going to talk about each one of these. One of them is called a first fruit offering. It's not a tithe, it's an offering. And it means whatever is defined, and in every culture it has to be defined, throughout history it was defined by whatever the ambient or systematic thing of that culture was. But the offering, the first fruit offering, is paid at the beginning of the year, not January, the beginning of the Jewish year.
It's October?
No, it's the first of Nisan, just 2 weeks before Passover. Oh, okay. And it is a... In other words, like if most people get paid once a week or twice a week or something, whatever it is, I'm sure what's going to end up, because that's what's normally being done, is it's 1/52nd of your annual salary. In other words, it's the first fruits of that year. Now,
what's neat that comes right after your taxes after?
Well, I don't know. We haven't decided when it's going to. We haven't decided any of these things. And nobody's going to put on you more than you can bear. So don't let this be something for you to go run away on, because that's the purpose of this meeting, is to talk about whether or not this is going to be done, whether it's time for it, but what I need from each one of you is a list, is the dollar value of your assets and what you anticipate making, you know, like 1/52nd, or what, whether your annual or monthly salary is or something, before taxes.
What if you have like, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, but I mean, I don't have any idea, but...
Well, you make an estimate.
Okay.
Now, this is going to cause shit. It's going to cause you to say, is this something that I want to be a part of? Now, again, I'm thinking in terms of Alan. Pete's been here 14 years, never had to address this. Alan gets here, he's been here 14 days, and all of a sudden he's confronted with it. Now, the beauty of this is the other side of the coin, and let's talk about it for a minute. And that is that you cannot have a debt. Right now, your debts control you. God's promise is, you do this, and the debts are not, you cannot have a debt.
Wow.
Now there'll be all kinds of teaching about this over the next time, but and nothing has been decided. I mean, it's going to be talked about at this meeting in Gilmore. Okay? What are you, anybody has, what are your reactions? What's going on at your gut levels?
How did Bloom's group do it? I mean,
well, and some, well, they just got it. I mean, whatever way. If somebody didn't have the cash, somebody else did, then they borrowed among themselves or gave among themselves to produce it. Hmm. There's all kinds of things that are happening with the groups. One of the things is that there'll be groups, there'll be yuppies that will have money, and there'll be groups of like us that don't have any money. There'll be, but there'll be the meeting of need among the groups. I mean, it's like, I am tired of the foundation being in bondage to money, and I'm tired of you being in bondage to money.
Yeah.
I know that this is the way of release.
Hey. I don't have any hesitation at all about making this offering. I'm just in confusion about how it will. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine. It's like there are obvious specific values to everything. How do you? It's hard for me to picture that as something you can get away.
Well, and again, the promise of God is that He will put on nothing on you more than you can bear.
I
don't want to address.
I'm not nervous about it. It's just that if you have a house, how do you give away a tenth of it?
Yeah.
How do you give away a tenth of that value?
Yeah. I have what I think will happen, but I don't want to say it without here now.
Going to that early meeting and
yeah.
Okay. We can wait a week.
Okay.
Yeah. The other, my only other question is, how long does one have to get this money together?
That's a detail, but it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. It's long as in your mind you see it.
Just remember, though, he said it's assets you control, not something you're going to inherit someday.
Right. No, I understand that, and that's.
Mm.
I mean, that's it. You can't get more than you have. I mean,
right. No, do you understand me? And I'm not saying you have to. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying that. That you have to come up and all I'm saying is that you have to be in acquiescence. You have to admit that you owe that much to the Father.
Sure.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
I welcome this.
Well, I know you have a problem.
I'm scared.
I know, because of, I know.
And I feel the same way about Alexis. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm well aware of your circumstances.
Okay.
This will, I guarantee you, this will crystallize. Thanks.
Good.
Now, again, I'm not going to go, we're running out of time. I was going to go through this whole agenda, but you can look at it if you want to. But the other thing I need from you, my function as a Levite, submitted to Bloom is to, he has given me a job. I have to raise $1 million as soon as possible. You know, and for a lot of you that have never dealt in that realm, that sounds impossible. But believe me, I've raised many millions of dollars for other people. And now I feel like I can do it because I'm not spending it. But I need a list from you of your access, whether it's just knowing about or things that you, something that witnesses in you when I say what I'm going to say, of your access to government agencies, to foundations, to wealthy individuals that have a propensity that for which could be a source for the endowment. We are going to free this organization to turn the world upside down. This year.
This is why.
And I promise you that I will use every resource at my command in the same way that I've done to preach the word. To prepare now, I think that I have prepared the saints for the work of the ministry. Now I want to prepare the foundation for the work of the ministry.
Amen. You know, it's a funny thing you said that, because right before you said that, I thought in my mind, now we've crossed the line.
Amen. The other thing I need from you,
if you love me, yeah.
Well, I need to bring, that I'm sure I know it anyway, but I need to bring I need to be prepared to talk about the capabilities of everybody that's in this body, in Bananas, whether it's music or art or writing or radio or, you know, or whatever. And so I think I know that well enough about all of you, unless there's something you haven't told me, except for, I don't know about Alan. The other thing, though, I need from you, I want you to search your heart and see if there is any arena of your life for which you desire an expression.
I should write that down.
Yeah, i.e., like, the expression, I hope that there was be an expression for the music for Matt and Jackie. I hope that there will be an expression for the talents, or the artistic talents, and other writing talents of Daryl. I hope that there will be an expression for the comedy and the stuff, even more so than there is.
Yeah.
I mean, and this isn't, you understand, we will never again think in terms of secular or religious. It's light that we're thinking in terms of.
Yeah.
Now, our function then as a foundation is to enable, to do whatever is necessary to enable you to have that expression. For instance, we have a deal in which Daryl, Beth, and Margaret need a place to do their thing, to do photography, to do artistic drawing studio,
spill ink on the floor,
that's, you know, so that'll be addressed in this. Whatever it is, wherever you desire an expression, that's what I want that you talk about. Again, we have, again, my statement at the board meeting, or if I didn't say it, I meant to, is that, you know, I think that we have prepared the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, as I said to Bloom, now let the games begin.
Yeah.
Do you understand? It's like, I want you, whether you know it or not, we have created a culture within a culture. Now, every aspect of that culture will be expressed without apology, commending yourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. All right?
You know what's wild is it feels like there's this exciting possibility of just like stepping out of this habit trail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. Go without knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me just share with you a couple other things in here, like, when we talk about endowments, our goal is to reach, initially, is 650,000, and shortly thereafter, million. The sources are Jews and Gentiles only. That's all that exists. The Jews or anybody that has an interest in God, by definition, whether that's sort of, they call them the force or Christ consciousness, or, so the Jews are either the body,
Pharisees or Sadducees. All the New Age movement is Sadducees.
Yeah.
The Gentiles are foundations, wealthy individuals, and governments. The arenas, don't write this, no, this isn't pronounced. The arenas that the project, I mean, like to the Jews, to the Pharisees especially, the things that we will be projects about that are really major accomplishments that you don't realize we've done are the definition of the three-year cycle. The ability to pull out and know, if you tie that to the Jewish calendar, to know exactly at any given day what Jesus was teaching his disciples. The meaning of the feast, the definition of the church, the media watchdog concept, welfare reform, these are kinds of projects that can lend themselves to raising this kind of money. And that's what... Now, I know we talked about access. The administration of the endowment would have to be probably like, you know, be somebody like, we'd have some representative, but it would probably be like an organization like Pete Marwick and Mitchell or some established Big Eight kind of firm. Now, another source of endowment funds is from insurance and wills. Harry's father died because of his own IRS problems. He asked that his portion of it went to his brother. Well, there's other options. There's insurance and wills. Now, you know, like, if we should take out immediately $1 million policy on Bloom with the foundation, the beneficiary.
Well, there's a solution to the
year. And we just go,
go bagging.
But there's some other plans that we have that are on the agenda for. Yeah, there are other plans on the agenda for raising the money. There are other plans on the agenda for raising the money for the endowment. Okay, one of them is finding wealthy mates for unattached Levites. Another is a project that we've named Foxes for Sale.
All day.
They said you could do what was necessary. That's all we
did. They say you do.
Then you're going to have to work your ass off.
You're going to love it.
Rather than sitting on my
Another project that we have is the ostrich farm.
The ostrich farm.
Yeah.
Right next to the snake farm on I-35.
Another thing that we can do that we've just, it's an excellent idea that St. Linda is just hey. Is selling indulgences.
Hey. Selling indulgences. Yeah. Thank you.
That is a funny story.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Wait, so we run into people a little more willing to
go right down to Highland Park.
Huh?
We're going to get down the street here and sell those.
Okay. So anyway, I just thought you might be interested in some of the things on the agenda. Okay. Anybody have anything else?
No.
Take a big guy.